Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Beautiful. Amen. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Great to be here with you this morning and to receive the Lord's gifts together, both in word and sacrament today. We are blessed to have church and to hear God's word. I was telling the adult Bible class this morning, the thought on my mind today, all morning, has been this line from a hymn that says, the hymn is called In Christ Alone. And in the hymn it says, there's one line that says, when fears are stilled and strivings cease. That's been on my heart all morning. Strivings cease. Because we get hung up in our strivings. But we're blessed because we have a God who loves us and who has strived for us on our behalf all the way to the cross and through the resurrection and ascension into heaven. And we gather in his name this morning together as believers in Christ and celebrate his glorious victory. Our hymn for this morning, our opening hymn, is hymn 809 in your hymnals. Great is thy faithfulness, quite a fitting hymn for that theme as well. And we do welcome those tuned in on the radio this morning and those joining us online later. We wish you the Lord's blessings as well. As we sing our hymn, we do invite the congregation on the last verse of the hymn to please stand this morning. Let's sing together hymn 809, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Amen. In the beginning of our service this morning, we recall the triune name as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children, and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 5. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish, for you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. We sing our Kyrie together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. For our Old Testament reading this morning, we turn to Psalm 85. This is a psalm of hope and a psalm of the leading of our Lord, and how he brings us to salvation and through salvation into eternal life with him. And this is a psalm also that speaks of much hope. Not the kind of hope that we often think of, which is, well, maybe this will happen, well, maybe this will happen. These are sure hopes from the Word of God. We begin in verse 1 of Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has now come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Invite the congregation to stand again for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower at Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. Would you join us now in confessing our faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn? It's hymn 427, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This text from Luke's Gospel this morning is an amazing text. I'm going to read part of the Gospel reading to you again here from chapter 13 of Luke. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, and he answered them. He answered them with their question. They had a question about what had taken place with those Galileans. It's quite humiliating for them to have some of their own Jewish people's blood mixed in with the sacrifice. Humiliating for those Galileans, their families, and really for all the Jews, to have that take place by a pagan ruler such as Pilate. Jesus knows their true question of their hearts, so he, in service to them and in love, says their question. Do you think that the Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans because they suffered in this way? And then he knows the other questions that are on their hearts. He says, or the 18 on whom the tower at Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than others? He knows their questions, the questions of their hearts, and he knows the questions of your hearts and mine. That's our Lord, who graciously leads us when we have questions. When I was at the seminary years back, I had a professor named Dr. Nomachi Misaki, who was a great professor. I love the guy. He's still teaching at the seminary in Fort Wayne. And in his theology classes and Lutheran Confessions classes, often us as students, you know, would sit there and ask questions of the professor. And Dr. Misaki is well known at the seminary for his answer to the questions that the students often ask. And his answer to many of the theological quandaries that he was presented with, when we'd ask a question, his response would be, wrong question. He wouldn't give us an answer, he would just tell us that our question was wrong. That's kind of an answer in and of itself, isn't it? We ask wrong questions all the time in our lives. Theologically, we find often wrong questions. Let me give you an example. A wrong question theologically would be this one. Does a person have to be baptized to be saved? Proper answer? Wrong question. Why is it the wrong question? Because that question seeks to divide something the scriptures don't divide, that being faith and baptism. So the question's wrong, fundamentally. Personally, we ask wrong questions all the time too. We'll say in life, what if this happens? Wrong question. You have no control over the future, neither do I. We don't hold it in our hands, and therefore we cannot control it, even though many times we live under a delusion that we can. The future, in fact, is in our Lord's hands, not ours. Another wrong question for believers: is God upset with me? Is God angry with me? Why would God allow this? Wrong question, wrong question, wrong question. God is not hurting us, friends. All the time we have this question swirling about in our world. Why would a good God allow this? Wrong question. How could a good God allow this bad thing? You get the point. God's not hurting you. He's the only way out of this mess that we call life in a sinful world. He's come to save. He sent not his son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We ask wrong questions even about forgiveness. Those sins that plague us, that the devil seems to bring back to our remembrance over and over again throughout our lives, and we're left there asking, does God really forgive me? Wrong question. We look always back to the cross. Just like the people of the Old Testament that we heard about in 1 Corinthians 10 that were baptized into Moses when they crossed the Red Sea, looked forward to Christ, and we look back in historical time. Same salvation for all. The scripture says Jesus died for Panta Cosmos, for the whole world. And the questions on the hearts of these Galileans in Luke 13 were, well, maybe those guys did something wrong, and that's why the tower fell on them and hit them, killed all 18 of them. Or maybe those guys whose blood Pilate mingled with the sacrifices were just some really bad Jewish guys. Jesus says, no. No. And we do the same sort of thing in our lives. When things happen to us, bad things, even tragedies take place, we often look and try to figure it out. Well, why did that happen? Again, wrong question. We're peering into something that we can't know as we ask those kinds of questions, just like the people in our text in Luke 13 were peering in, trying to understand why these things would take place. That tower in Siloam that fell, that was what we'd call an accident. But those are the things we get hung up on often. Bills come due, don't have the money. Why are you doing this to me? Medical things that happen to us, diagnoses. Someone we love is gone all of a sudden, and we say, are you angry? Am I a worse sinner that you'd let this happen to me? Jesus' answer, clear and simple, levels the playing field for every single flesh and blood person that's ever took a breath of this air. No. And he says it twice. No. Unless you repent, he says, you will all likewise perish. And he puts to bed forever the games that we play in our minds about who's better than who and why something might happen to one person and not another. You know, why it seems like, well, this person gets all the best things in life and they're not even that good of a person. I don't see how that's fair. It puts to bed all that garbage with the simple statement, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And the craziest part about this is as Christians, we come at the scripture often for a variety of reasons. We want to know what the Bible says for a bunch of different reasons. But often one of the most popular reasons is so that we can figure it out. See, we want to know how God works. We want to know how the system functions, right? And that's why we hear questions like, well, can a person be saved without being baptized? That's a person who's seeking all the answers. And as we heard in the reading, those who think they stand take heed lest they fall. We engage often with God's word to try to figure it out because we believe that once we figure it out, then we can do it rightly, or we can at least try the best possible way. Jesus encapsulates it all in that statement, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Why does he say that? Why does he bring repentance to us? Because I know, and you know, repentance is not fun. It's not like I wake up on Saturday morning and I open my eyes and I think, oh, cool, we're all going to go today and repent. It doesn't really spark the joy. Not the funnest activity. But this is what our Lord's telling us. No, we need to stop measuring ourselves among ourselves. Stop trying to figure out how God's word works so that we can somehow enact it in our own lives and make those bad things go away and only get those good things. If we can just get serious enough about God's word, maybe he'll give that to us. No. See, there's a tree in a parable mentioned after these two questions and answers of Jesus. And it's a tree that has no fruit. And often as we examine this parable, we wonder, okay, a fig tree with no fruit. Well, what's the fruit? Now, obviously, he's teaching a parable, so he's not talking about figs, right? What's the fruit? Well, in context of Luke 13, there's no other answer but one simple answer: repentance. God is working repentance in our lives. When the scriptures come to us, they don't give us a formula for figuring out how this works so that we can then master it as we cross-examine his word to understand. Instead, the scriptures give us law and gospel. They give us repentance. The scriptures literally hand us a contrite heart through the law. And when we hear those truths about ourselves, like Paul tells us in Romans 3, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that none are righteous, no, not one. When we hear John the Baptist tell us that the Savior's going to come and he's going to lift up the valleys and push down the hills, it's all going to be a level playing field, that's what Jesus is saying. It's no. Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. We might hear that as bad news, but it's not bad news. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news. Why? Because Jesus died for sinners. See, repentance is being able by God's strength and power to admit that we can't do it ourselves. We can't cross-examine his word and figure it all out. We'll never get the answers asking all the wrong questions. Our only hope is him. And that's what he's saying to us in verses like John chapter 14 when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. They don't come to him by getting their questions answered. Oh no. They don't come to him by figuring out how all this works and living the right life. Oh no. Only by Christ. And Jesus has done it. And this takes all the pressure, all of it off. The pressure that we put on ourselves, I mean. Striving, those cease. When we hear the gospel, the pure and beautiful and wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus. And that is, he died for you so that we might have peace with God through Jesus Christ, like Paul says in Romans 5, so that we can stop our strivings and stop trying to figure it all out and just rest in knowing that his cross and his resurrection was for you. And that everything's right with God right now. At this exact moment in time, as we are here together, for you, for me, everything's right with God. See, the world will give you a whole different picture of that, and a lot of other religions will give you a whole different picture of that, and try to make you think, you can make everything right with God. You can do it. If you just get serious, figure it out, seek all the things, jump through all the hoops, ask all the wrong questions. You'll get there, you'll get there, you'll get there. But the problem is, brothers and sisters in Christ, you're not going to get there that way, and neither am I. What God has to say to you and to me this morning is that it's already done. You don't have to get anywhere. Jesus got there for you. He went to the cross and shed his own blood. His blood is the true blood of the sacrifice. It doesn't matter what Pilate mixed together in the sacrifices that day. It'd never be as strong as the blood that flowed from Calvary for the sins of the whole wide world, for every sinner. And we get to rejoice and celebrate that reality, that in Jesus, all the wrong questions are answered. We get to live free from guilt and condemnation and the things that we beat ourselves up with trying to get it right. Free from them. And I don't know what's on your heart this morning, and you probably don't know what's on mine. But it's all clean, It's all washed away by the cross and the resurrection. We have nothing to fear any longer. No matter what happens to us in this life, Jesus forgives all our sin. Jesus is the one who brings us to repentance. This is the work of the Holy Spirit that would have us say back to God what he says to us. Yes, you're right, Lord, about me. I'm a sinner, and I can't do it right. We think that's a defeat, but it's actually victory as God gives us that blessed gift. Because finally, at the end of it, when it's all said and done, we're no longer trusting in those answers to all our wrong questions. But through repentance, we're trusting in his righteousness, in who he is and who he became for us. And that's enough to settle every dispute and to answer every wrong question and to bring us peace when our strivings can cease and we can rejoice. And then, from that point of rejoicing, knowing that Jesus has handed you heaven, he's handed us forgiveness, he's given us everything. From that point, we can live, and we can live free, and we can live joyful to share that amazing gift of Christ with other people who are still striving and are still asking all the wrong questions, trying to make it all work on their own. They don't have to, and you know it, and I know it. And so together we get to share this blessed peace of the gospel that comes to us through Jesus' cross and resurrection. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And when you realize for the very first time that you don't have to do it, Jesus has done it. That, my friends, is what launches us into a life of love for God and love for the neighbor and inspires it in us every single day. That's the power of God. Paul says it in Romans. He says, the gospel, not the law, not the to-dos. The gospel is the power of God. That inspires us to go and serve him in thanksgiving. Not trying to get anything. Just happy to give because of all that he's given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response this morning for our prayers is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you order and number our days according to your wisdom, not ours. We pray you'd give us repentance hearts that we might fully trust in your righteousness and not our own. Understanding that you promise us great things and you will keep those promises. Let us hold fast to Christ for life and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but you desire that they turn from evil and live. We pray you'd give pastors courage to warn of sin and death, that you give all Christians strength to defend the message of the gospel, to stand up for this message of peace and comfort and forgiveness. And that by us you turn those who haven't heard what you've done to life by the proclamation of Christ, who delivers all from unrighteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, guard your people against sexual immorality. Lord, it runs rampant. It's a click away. Lord, help come to our aid Strengthen us through your word and spirit to resist the temptations of the devil. Grant that our homes would be havens of godly instruction, of chastity, and fill marriages with fidelity and love and trust. Lord, in your mercy, God of all, you establish justice not through the desires of sinners, but by your law, which is for all people. Enlighten the authorities of this and every nation, that they might rule justly for good. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, protect us when we're tempted. Guard us, especially from pride that justifies sin, and from doubting that you'll provide us a way of escape. Strengthen us with penitent hearts to endure until you deliver us. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, remember your people who cry to you for mercy in a world where towers fall and sinners work evil. Deliver those in need today of healing and comfort. Lord, we name before you now at this time Jeff Otto Pollock, Pastor Lyle and his family, the passing of Linda, Adam and Andrea and their family, Joyce Austin, Sandy Cody, Dick Greitz, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinbarger, Susan St. Cyr, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord Jesus, strengthen them, we pray, and strengthen all of us to look to you for help in our time of affliction. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, through the abundance of your steadfast love, you have gathered us again into your house and to your supper. Give all who commune this day a holy reverence for your power and faith in your promises, that they would receive Christ's true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, Lord, and that each of us could come to realize constantly, all the time, that Christ is our answer. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, you brought us into your vineyard and appointed us to bear good fruit. Receive our thanks for your patience, and grant that we would show your love and grace in all that we say and do every day. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our offering to be collected and presented. A little bit different this morning. Our organist will play an instrumental while the offerings are being collected. And when the offerings are collected and our ushers at the back, we invite you to stand at that point and sing the doxology with us as the offerings are brought forward. we stand and sing the doxology together? Thank you for joining us. If you're tuning in on the radio this morning, we wish you the Lord's blessings in Christ throughout your week. If you're here in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn to page 8 in the bulletin as we begin our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
I'm also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you've had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lord Jesus,
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK Walsenburg.